Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Good Thursday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. Pre-markets got a little pep as some of the eco data today is encouraging. Productivity revised higher. Unit labor costs revised lower. Big jobs number tomorrow, but for now, 10-year 406, lowest in 5 weeks. Our roadmap begins with regional bank stocks mixed after embattled lender New York Community Bancorp secures that billion-dollar cash injection. Stephen Mnuchin, who led the raise, is going to join us exclusively in a few minutes.
Plus, shares of Novo Nordisk, they are hitting a new high. Early trial data of an experimental obesity drug, another one showing that it may be more effective than Wegovy. And big tech struggles. Apple, well, those shares are looking for a bounce after a six-day sell-off. Tesla, similar story, no longer one of the most valuable S&P 500 companies.
Let's begin with NYCB's billion-dollar equity investment led by former Treasury Secretary Mnuchin's firm, Liberty Strategic Capital. He's going to join us in a few moments. Jim, got some clarifications today, some more data on deposits, the percentage that are insured and so forth.
Yeah, I think it's important to know that when the former Secretary of Treasury did a previous deal, IndyMac, which was a deal involving a bank that it's really one of the worst run banks in the country. He came in, had the bid that was best for the FDIC. The cover bid, the second bid, was much lower. It ended up making him a lot of money, and that's being dredged up again as somehow against him. David, the reason I mention that is because the risks may even be bigger here, if only just because we're dealing with so many rent-controlled units, and the law changed in 2019 to make it so that those who think this is going to be a quick windfall may be completely ill-advised to think that.
You're talking about multifamily.
Yes, because that is a preponderance.
44%, I believe, is the number of their loans. That's, yeah.
But, I mean, to me, it looks great, multifamily, until...
Right, because multifamily in New York, which is where this bank does a lot of its business, is actually, you'd imagine, quite strong, yes, given rents are at all-time highs and things of that nature. But to your point, if you can't raise the rents in certain of their portfolio of buildings, then when people have to come to refinance at a higher rate,
right,
it could be difficult. Something we're going to ask.
But they've got this little window of 2025. But didn't you think it was curious? There's no loss sharing agreement with the government.
No.
I'm just saying
this is private transaction.
I'm just saying that I've already read stories about it's a giveaway because there's been such dilution. I mean, David, this bank was 48 hours from being a New York non-community bank.
Although the deposit flight was the one characteristic that
it wasn't as
was
horrible as I would have thought.
As bad. Always hard to know exactly, but it's something they talked about in the conference call that began at 8 a.m. this morning. So, you know, the stock price may have been collapsing, which it did, but it wasn't clear that the deposit base had similar.
That's true, and that's why there's
meanwhile,
not fear.
Meanwhile, Mnuchin's firm, along with, you know, a number of other significant investors, that includes Citadel, firm called Reverence, which is run by an old friend of mine, Milton Berlinski, who once ran financial institutions at Goldman Sachs, and they've done a lot of these sort of difficult type of financially focused deals. They're doing great. I mean, it's $1.05 billion overall.
Right.
It's common and a preferred. Now, it's a PIPE, remember, so it's got to get registered. They're not in this for some quick trade, but when you buy at two and then they have warrants for 60% of that value at 250, I mean, they're in the money looking great already, Jim. So far, so good. Obviously, they've replaced a lot of the board with their own. I mean, Mnuchin's on the board. Berlinski's on the board
now.
Yeah,
Hudson Bay guy. I mean, this is some serious hitters.
And so they'll be in this for quite some long period of time, but started off pretty well for them as
yes,
an investment.
Now, Danilo said something this morning, Dave. I want to get your feeling on this. He said NYCB now has a fortress balance sheet.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
So it's similar to J.P. Morgan's?
Yeah. Jason, we are often criticized. I mean, look, J.P. Morgan is the gold standard. I think this is a strip deal. It could work out for everybody. I'm just saying that unlike IndyMac, this one could be a little dicier. We don't know. Now, they're saying this conservative under the conference is going on conservative underwriting standards. But, David, yeah. In 2019, when the law changed, you used to be able to renovate these apartments and be able to evict.
Right, and then increase rents. And then the New York State legislature moved in.
Right.
And they think everybody should just be able to, have a rent increase.
I'm not saying I'm necessarily defensive about the Mr. Secretary. I think he did a great job, whatever. But I'm just saying that their articles just say, you know what, he got in there, he got a great price, whatever. And the best price would have been if you let it go. If you let it go. He came in the middle of the day. This thing could have gone to one. He could have done his deal. I'm just saying that it's not
By the way, middle of the day, Carl, this thing was down 42% on reports of an equity raise and then ended up, it had a 70% reversal during the course of the day.
Yeah, kind of like a polished chariot at King's Dominion. Have you been to that one?
No.
Or do you think it's more like Magic Mountain?
Magic Mountain.
To your point, Jim, Eric Rosengren, former Boston Fed president yesterday, bank continues to struggle. Very difficult to do a capital raise when the value of the CRE portfolio would be very difficult to ascertain, right, given the exact changes in laws that you're talking about.
Exactly. And that's why I am saying that you put $1 billion in, and let's say you have as bad a loan portfolio as what Signature had, which they bought. $1 billion might not be enough. Now, they feel like it's very well capitalized, and I think that's something we have to ask, Mr. Mnuchin, is how do we know $1 billion? Have we gotten in there and looked at the books? I mean, this was not necessarily how many hours do they have here?
The good news is we're going to get a chance to do that less than 10 minutes from now, talk to Steve. So
yeah, it's going to be excellent.
Stay tuned.
Meantime,
preview our excellence.
Yeah, stay tuned for our excellence. In the meantime, Novo Nordisk surging to a record high. The company announces this phase one trial for its experimental obesity pill. They show our participants averaged 13% weight loss after taking the drug for 12 weeks. That suggests the oral treatment this time could be more effective than Wegovy. Jim, amycretin is the name we got to get to know.
Okay, now there's another company, Eli Lilly. Now, Eli Lilly is as non-promotional as Novo Nordisk is promotional. And Eli Lilly has a pill that's pretty far along, about phase three. They could have it. They've got same safety profile, doesn't lower the weight as fast. Some people feel that you shouldn't lower the weight as fast. Other people feel like if you don't show fast weight loss, then people leave the pill. But I really want to make everybody understand that if you sell Lilly down 10, by the way, on the eve of when they have what I think is going to be a very positive readout on their dementia drug, I think you're just realizing you're splitting hairs here. Eli Lilly has a great product. David, they don't, when you go with Eli Lilly, let's say you go out with them, all right, or you spend some time with them, here's what they'll tell you when you ask them about Zepbound. And I say, well, no, could you just give me a little comment? I mean, you always sometimes just want no comment. You don't want the blank stare.
Just
like,
get the stare.
The blank stare says, are you out of your mind? You think I'm going to tell you anything? And I like that about it.
But I mean, that just reinforces the market seems to be two companies, period, right? It's Novo and Lilly.
After Pfizer blew it. Well, people are going to say Viking. I mean, this Viking.
Pfizer blew it?
I prefer. Yeah. Well, no, they had to take away the pills. People got sick from it. Well, that's suboptimal.
No, it's suboptimal.
Now, David, as between, I want to be sure that you understand, I'm going to make you a bet.
Thank you.
As between Viking, the cruise ship company, and Viking, the therapeutic company, I'm taking the cruise ship because the cruise ships are red hot. I don't know if you've seen the Norwegian numbers lately.
No.
I mean, Norwegian, so it's next door.
But I do know Norwegian and Carnival, all of those stocks have been amongst the best performers.
Carnival had a
and
really
Royal
good deal
Caribbean,
with
Caribbean, I believe, as well.
Royal Caribbean's been the best. No, I am being a little facetious, but Viking did a big fundraise, okay?
And everyone's the back of the phase two?
Right, but, if you deal with the FDA, the FDA is not anxious to say, you know what, we need a third company in there who we've never heard of and we have no idea, and it seems like the creation of Wall Street.
You've said that a number of times.
Well, because the FDA is a serious alpha.
Just to refresh people's memory, it was only a couple of weeks ago, Viking Therapeutics reported very favorable phase two trials for its own GLP-1, and the stock soared, more than doubled. And Jim's point has been that you've got two great drugs on the market already.
Right. And
what's going to be the hurry to approving a third?
They did three for migraine, which surprised me. They did Teva after they had already had one from Biohaven. Now, Carl, there's three agencies that begin with the letter F in federal government. There's mm-hmm. FERC, there's the FTC, and the FDA. See, two out of three, not good. Two out of three, not responsive. I think FERC is really off the reservations, become one of those agencies that's anti-oil and gas. FTC, I'll leave that to David. FDA is gold standard and has not changed through any administration. So they are not going to prove, ever since thalidomide, we are the best. And I just really think that we have to be careful saying, oh, they're going to like Viking. They love Lilly because Lilly has a great safety record. There you go.
As for Novo, that's an all-time high this morning. And a lot of pieces lately, Jim, just talking about how it's changed not just the Danish economy, but the European economy.
Well, look, Frank Holland had an excellent person today. He's from Citi about the new Magnificent Seven. I guess it's the foreign language version. Steve McQueen, do they dub them or do they use subtitles? But what I found is interesting is it starts with LVMH. And we forget, they have, David, they've got companies over there. Schneider Electric, you know Schneider?
I do, Schneider. I like to
Schneider.
Say Schneider.
Schneider,
instead
look
of
at
Schneider.
Him, huh? Mr. Big Shot.
Wasn't Schneider the like the super or something on a sitcom in the 70s?
One Day at a Time, Pat Harrington, is that what you're talking
about?
Is that
true?
Yeah.
See,
hey,
that's
me?
Incredible.
Can I just
me.
Tell you some of Mnuchin's movies were damn good?
Yes. What's the Ben Affleck? Argo?
No. Yeah. Accountant.
Yes.
He's an accountant. And
okay.
And the star of that besides Affleck? Bernthal.
Oh, you and Bernthal.
Brother-in-law of
Bernthal. Anyway, I'm glad to know that, what was his name? Harrington played
Harrington.
Schneider in One Day at a Time.
And
but you're talking now, let's get you back
on
track
Scott Wabish.
To Schneider, the French company.
Well, no, I'm just saying
what was your point?
My point is that people are gravitating toward Europe. You've got the ECB being very benign. You've got some European companies that are doing far better than what was once our Magnificent Seven.
Although data check yesterday, Jim, non-U.S. stocks underperforming S&P by a full standard deviation.
Well, you got to look. There's Japan. There's some of Europe, and then there's kind of the rest of the world. I do think, by the way, Japan. I feel like I blew it. There was Warren Buffett buying it every single day, and I'm focused in on Occidental. Occidental. What do you think here? You got that same briefing I got just in this Joseph Otting?
Yeah, I'm reading stuff about NYCB because you know what we have coming up.
Because of the excellent interview coming up.
Yeah.
But David, I'm just focusing on this Europe. The reason why I'm focusing on Europe is because Novo Nordisk is now more than $500 billion.
When we come back, we'll talk to the former Treasury Secretary about this NYCB investment. We'll get to Rivian, Tesla, GE, Boeing, some retail in a moment.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
As we've been discussing, we're keeping an eye on shares of New York Community Bank. This after the bank did raise more than $1 billion in equity from an outside investor group. Joining us now in a CNBC exclusive is Steven Mnuchin. He's the former U.S. Treasury Secretary, founder of the lead investor behind the capital infusion, Liberty Strategic. Mr. Secretary, great to have you this morning. You know, you decided to put as much as I think it's 15% of the capital in your fund into NYCB. And I guess I have to wonder why, when only a week ago management identified material weaknesses in the company's internal controls related to internal loan review. And analysts will still point out that the business model is still very much overweight some of the least desirable parts of the commercial real estate market. So why is this a good investment?
Well, first of all, it's great to be with all of you here today. This is a business I've known well for a long period of time. So we looked at a long time ago potentially merging One West with New York Community. So I've been following it. And more recently, when they did the Signature Bank deal last year, I followed it as well, which I think was a very attractive deal for the company, and particularly bringing the two franchises together. So at the end of January, the company announced some issues associated with cutting the dividend and increasing reserves. I reached out to the company and began a diligence process in case they wanted to increase capital. And it was really at the end of last week that we moved forward very quickly. So I like the franchise a lot. It's a top 20 bank in the U.S. with very attractive markets. It's got a great branch network. Unlike the banks that had problems last year, this business has 80% of their deposits are insured, so it's got a very stable deposit base. And the issue is really around perceived risks in the loans. And with putting $1 billion of capital into the balance sheet, it really strengthens the franchise. And whatever issues there are in the loans, we'll be able to work through. And bringing Joseph Otting in, who I worked with very closely, and One West, and then as controller, you know, I think there's a great opportunity to turn this into a very attractive regional commercial bank.
And you're confident that they have effectively recognized some of the risk within the portfolio itself? I mean, again, in reference to the fact that they did cite, and we know that there seem to have been material weaknesses in some of their internal controls in terms of reviewing loans. Do they still have a ways to go there? What gives you the confidence that that loan portfolio is as strong or perhaps as worthy, at least, as you seem to indicate?
So let me just say, Sandro, who was the chairman and you know, did the Flagstar deal, when issues came in, Sandro took over as executive chairman and stepped into the CEO role and really did a great job in a short period of time, really on this. And we did extensive diligence on the large loans. You know, the bank will look at the reserves and we'll make sure over time it has the appropriate reserves. And that can be done through a combination of our capital and earnings. We cut the dividend down to a penny a share, so we're going to retain almost all of our earnings. And we think the asset side is very manageable. The bank has today about 11% Tier 1 capital, about 10% CET1. And if we need to take more reserves in the future, which we'll carefully review, we clearly have the capital base to sustain that.
All right, Mr. Mnuchin, it's great to have you on. Thank you. I do want to go over some of the portfolio issues. One-fifth of these loans are tied to New York rent-regulated multifamily. That law changed dramatically since many of these apartments were lent to. You do have a lot of criticized loans, including $552 million, you know, potential loan losses involving a co-op, involving office space. What makes you think, in light of the fact that this company, I'm willing to say, was offering some suboptimal financials, that you really have a handle on how bad this bank is?
Well, let me just say, I think that co-op loan was really a one-off situation. And I think they've either sold it or they have it committed to sold. I don't know if it's closed yet. But that was really a one-off situation. Look, we understand what's happened in the rent-stabilized market. There were a lot of people who bought these properties with the idea that they could convert them and raise rents. And they're not going to be able to. But there's a lot of people in this portfolio that didn't. A relatively small part of the portfolio are large loans with 100% rent stabilization. When the bank made these loans, they were very low LTVs, so I think there's a lot of cushion in it. You know, the good thing is, you know, look, I think interest rates are going to come down over the next 2 years. The great thing about multifamily is, unlike office, they have cash flow. With lower interest rates, that's going to help a lot. And there clearly will be some problems in the portfolio. There's no question about that. And we've taken that into our account in the underwriting. And that's why we raised $1 billion of capital. So, you know, any issues the bank has with needing additional reserves and problems, we'll be able to deal with.
Okay, so Mr. Secretary, we know that some of the loans had already been previously Signature sold. They had a hard time getting 70 cents to the dollar for a lot of these loans, again, because of these 2019 law changes. And we know that there are, starting in 2025, a lot of what I can just say that have to be some sort of refinancing. Are you taking that all into account and feeling confident that maybe the value of real estate's better, or that maybe the 2019 law will not be as prohibitive for the rest of the properties?
I mean, I'm not taking into account there's any changes in the law. So we understand the law and the impact. Let me say the bank was very smart. When they did the signature deal, which was an assisted deal, they left the bad loans with the government. So you can assume those were the worst loans. And they were sold at distressed prices to, you know, real estate funds. So, you know, I think that was a great transaction. When they did it, they got cash. They didn't take any of the bad loans. And look, we're going to work through these loans over time. I mean, I would just put this in perspective. And again, these are approximate numbers. But when we did the deal yesterday, I think the tangible book value was about $6.65 a share. Based upon the closing price last night and the warrants, tangible book is still $6.20 a share. And, you know, the stock is trading at a significant discount to that. So, look, Joseph and I have done this before with a bank that needs to be rebuilt. You know, we're going to retain earnings. We're going to build reserves when we need to do that. And, you know, we got plenty of time over the next couple of years to really rebuild this franchise. And look, we like the multifamily business. So there's a time to work through this. Right. And I will just say, look, probably the biggest problem in the portfolio is the New York office. There's about $3.5 billion of office. We've looked at 2.5 of the $3.5 billion. We've taken into account what we think needs to be done. So I would say, you know, the office portfolio is the one that, you know, we will work out of the quickest. The multifamily portfolio, look, you know, Fannie and Freddie are refinancing multis. I know over the last month or two, a lot of loans refinanced away from the bank. And we can reduce that multifamily portfolio over time.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned office and the $2.5 billion that you've taken a look at. What are your expectations there? We all know where things stand in New York in terms of only 50% or so people showing up more or less most days to work, and therefore what the landlords in particular of, let's call it, A minus to B properties are looking at.
Look, on multifamilies that have cash flow and lower interest rates, you know, you can work out a lot. On New York office, where you have empty office buildings of Class B, there's a reason why the values are down a lot. And I don't see New York office, particularly Class B, working out in, you know, getting better in the future. That's not an area. You know, we've taken that into account. It is a limited part of the portfolio. We have a lot of flexibility. We have the ability, as I said, to build reserves as we need it. It's, you know, we can work through that. And, you know, look, this is, it's rare to be able to come in and buy into a top 20 bank in the U.S. in great markets with great branches, terrific private wealth management teams that came from Signature. I'm looking forward to visiting with them next week. And, you know, I believe is going to be a great franchise over time.
Mr. Secretary, I imagine lots of opportunities cross your desk. I wonder if you'd entertain a question about the degree to which you see stress or duration risk across the spectrum of regional or community banks right now.
Well, there's no question that higher interest rates and credit losses have an impact on, you know, kind of regional banks. And look, maybe there's opportunities for us to do acquisitions over time. That's something that we don't really plan on, but we'll look at. You know, at One West, when we bought IndyMac, we did two follow-on acquisitions with the FDIC. The good thing about being a bank is if there are assisted deals to do, it's a lot easier to do them as a bank than as a private equity firm. So, you know, we'll be looking for the right opportunities if they exist.
Yeah. Did the FDIC err in giving the Signature portfolio or, you know, passing it along to NYCB, given it took them past that $100 billion mark, which brought more regulatory scrutiny and requirement that they didn't seem to be prepared for?
Well, look, there's no question, you know, at the time they wanted to do a deal quickly. It was important to stabilize the deposits. I think they did a good deal with New York Community Bank because, quite frankly, it strengthened New York Community Bank to put that franchise. Obviously, if J.P. Morgan had wanted to buy it instead of buying First Republic, they would have bought it. But no, I think the FDIC did the right thing. And again, I think you see this as we were able to raise capital, we were able to stabilize the bank. I obviously had extensive conversations with both the Fed and the OCC over the last few days. And they've been very supportive of us moving forward with this investment.
Stephen, was there another bidder, anyone a cover bid? And also, are you going to change the name of the bank? It is a great bank in the Midwest. Or are you going to want to be even more of a regional and just focus on New York?
Well, I can't comment on the other bidders. You know, there was a group of capital that we brought in into it. You know, some of the people like Milton Berlinski, I've had a longstanding relationship. He was my partner at Goldman Sachs. So, you know, in a short period of time, people came into the deal very quickly. We upsized the deal from what was going to be about $700 million to a little over $1 billion. As it relates to the name, look, New York Community Bank is the name of the parent. It's not the name of the branches. The branches are Flagstar. And, you know, Joseph and I and Sandro will look at whether we should rebrand the parent and or rebrand the branches. But the branches are not New York Community Bank.
You're already up nicely on the investment. Obviously, it hasn't even closed yet. But one would expect this will be a long-term investment for you. You're on the board. You mentioned a couple of years. Is that your expectation?
I see a lot of upside in this investment. And, you know, we look at this as a 3 to 5 year transaction. It could be longer. In the case of, you know, One West, we held it for 6 years. But there's clearly a lot of work and a lot of upside over the next few years. And, you know, the other thing we're excited about is, you know, we've brought a lot of new people onto the board. So Joseph will be on the board. I'll be on the board. Milton. Alan Pawalski, who worked with us at One West and was previously at Paulson. He had been a senior person at the FDIC. So he brings very significant regulatory experience, yep, along with Joseph and I. And, you know, again, as I said, I think there's a lot of opportunity to build out this business. You know, it's a unique franchise.
Yeah.
And not everybody wants to be with the top three or four mega banks.
No, understood. Finally, given the long-term nature of this deployment of capital, is it your intent to stay in your current position? I ask that because, of course, your former boss, Donald Trump, running for president again, could well end up in that seat come November. Would you rejoin a new Trump administration, I've asked?
Well, let me just say on this front, you know, it is my current intention to stay and run my business. That's what I'm focused on. You know, I've obviously spoken to President Trump. I've seen him recently and given him a bunch of views on the economy and some strategy issues. You know, if the president called me up down the road, of course, I'd have to take that call and consider it. But it's my current focus to build out this business.
All right. Well, that leaves plenty for a conversation for another day, Stephen. But appreciate your taking time this morning. Thank you for joining us.
Great to see you guys.
Jim, as we await the opening bell here, thoughts on that conversation?
Well, look, I've got to tell you that I think that we had a black hole developing here. It was not affecting the other banks. They were all going crazy. It's so different from last year. There's such faith in the banking system. During this period of the turmoil of a very large bank.
Yeah. No, it has not hurt, nor crept over, nor was ever seen as systemic during this period of significant weakness and concern. Obviously, it may not be through that, but, excuse me, it was interesting hearing Mnuchin's take in terms of the portfolio itself and how they can work through their problems.
Yeah. KRE volatility hasn't really budged in the face of all of this.
I did think that he was the one who brought up, look, he is concerned about the commercial real estate. But in many ways, this was a bank where there was no run. The deposits are very firm. He mentioned the insured. And I want to contrast that when everyone knows he made a lot of money in the indie bank fiasco, where he came in and dealt directly with the FDIC in a loan sharing agreement. This is so opposite. They got capital risk. I think you're referencing again to a pipe just to explain to people. He put money in. Now, you can say he's up immediately, but we know
right.
that. At the same time, that's not the goal. The 3 to 5 year transaction that you got out of him, I think, was probably the most seminal thing we heard.
Yeah, I mean, 3 to 5 years, it is a pipe. It obviously has certain registration rights associated with it. It hasn't yet closed, although they don't think there's going to be any issues whatsoever in
Who are the other bidders, Dave?
Not the other bidders he was referring
to. He did say there were other people.
No, I think he was referring to other people in his investment group.
Okay,
I wasn't sure that he
knew. Because I thought that this is a,
had any
there's
got to
be someone
bidders.
Who might want to see this now. Listen, that they've seen it.
Selling stock at $2 was not ideal. Deal, right?
No, you're right.
But We'll keep an eye on shares of NYCB. Plenty of other things to keep an eye on.
It's just an amazing moment. I mean, one of the best bank rallies I've seen in my life is occurring as this fiasco is unfolding.
Yeah, especially on the big, huge banks at J.P. Morgan, all-time high yesterday.
Tesla.
Yes, we'll get to Tesla. But, Jim, all sectors green. Materials, industrials, GE, this Investor Day conference on aerospace.
Larry Culp at length. I mean, they've got an incredible book of business. Remember, 70% of the book is that renewable once you service the engines. He gave you a very long-term outlook that was incredibly
positive. This is a 28 outlook.
Free cash flow is terrific. Sometimes, David, you just want to just literally applaud someone who took a stock, a company that was frankly in shambles, and really created GE Healthcare has been an incredible standout. You know, I'm a believer of Vernova because of the power that's needed for data centers, which has to some degree rely on nat gas because they're growing so fast. But this is the gem of the ocean. This is just a beautiful play. Given the fact that Boeing is under fire, we got to name the 25 names. I mean, that was just Boeing's. The Justice Department does not like Boeing. This is going to become the pure play. Listen to Greg Hayes this morning, RTX. That's too much defense. GE did break out its defense business. Looks very solid. And again, it's that same kind of refurbished renewal.
Well, which you've is also talked, though, right, about Vernova, which is the upcoming
divestiture.
That comes in April. That's soon.
Right.
How does the stock, I mean,
the free cash flow
is that already incorporated in the stock price, the expectations
there?
Okay,
that's a great question, as I say no.
You say no.
I say no because I think that people are beginning to realize that the, don't forget, they own about 13% of GE Healthcare, which has been just monstrously good, that maybe there's just more wealth here. The Vernova presentations were incredibly strong. Carl, a lot of what's coming down here is that if you had gone 2 years ago before you realized the Jensen Huang revolution data center drag on the grid, you might have just said, oh, this is like a Flotsam and Jetsam wind company. I hope they can build things off New Jersey. Instead, what it really is a company that is going to be part of the reindustrialization of America that we're having. It's based on data centers and on the electric grid. They are going to be the premier company to be able to buy if you want to reform the electric grid, other than perhaps Eaton, which is another fantastic company.
Speaking of NVIDIA, cracks above 900 this morning, Jim. Mizuho goes to 1,000.
I was waiting for
Don't forget, Jensen's keynote is on the 18th.
Yeah, I'll be out there to see Jensen.
You are going
to
go?
Yeah, I got to. I mean, it's a pilgrimage, and many people are taking it. I think that what's important that people have realized is that this GTC speech was done virtual, but he is in a deep dive mode, Jensen. I mean, he's just not like a lot of other executives. He's going out everywhere. Of course, he's doing sovereign AI. So this week was devoted to healthcare AI. But what he's really doing is trying to create the 3 to 5 year vision that I think makes it so people feel very excited about a $1,000 price tag.
Meantime, people are starting to pick apart the socks because there's a healthy population of both underperformers and overperformers. Micron today, Stiefel goes to buy 120.
Very interesting. That cycle, you always have to get ahead of the cycle. That stock is either the best performer in the S&P or worst performer during several times. And Sanjay Mehrotra was not bullish at 65, 68, which is when you had to buy it, but that's because he's not a hype artist. I think it might come down to Broadcom. Broadcom, David Hock Tan, has some very good exposure and is a good partner of NVIDIA, but they'll report tonight. And during the summer, they didn't have enough AI and they had too much cell phone. Now, Qualcomm, which has a lot of cell phones, been red hot.
Meanwhile, Broadcom shares up 121% over the last year. You can see.
No, my channel trust owns
it.
I'm well aware of how well it's doing.
We're talking now, it has a $640 billion market value, far above Tesla's, by the way.
Okay, that's where I was going.
Just would point out again, we're talking now about one of the largest companies in the U.S. Market by far. Give me a preview on earnings tonight and what's going to matter. Do you
know? Well, I just think that people have to recognize that Hock Tan, as aggressive as he is very straight on the conference call. And if you go back to the September conference call, he crushed the stock by just saying, listen, we still have a lot of businesses that are not on fire. If he does that again, then the people who recommended buying it today are going to be ill-advised. I think they should have waited to hear what he had to say because Hock Tan is not a promotional man. And he also is, I think, someone who put together a company that happened to, I don't want to say got lucky that it had a connection, but there are other companies that do AI. Marvell Tech, that's another one. You're going to see that. They also have tangential. They have the optical part, and they report tonight. So these are two companies, Marvell and Broadcom, that are not on the fringes, but they're not wholly this. Yes. And those are the two diciest, and I like them both.
Meanwhile, we have a new potential AI catalyst as Microsoft confirms this event on the 21st called New Era of Work, which will focus on the Surface 10, the laptop hardware. Well, that's going to be interesting.
I think that the stock got hurt by some chatter that their Copilot, which I use extensively and think is fabulous, is not being adopted well enough. And when I hear these stories, I think, well, what kind of survey did they do? Did they speak to the CFO? Do they know that this is maybe the most popular product, David, that Microsoft's ever had?
Copilot.
Oh, it's fantastic.
We've been talking about it for some period of time already. You could make an argument, though, Jim, that move up that we saw, and you can go back a little bit, later last year was in part because of the excitement around the introduction of Copilot.
But I think that what happened they were only to some degree negligent. They initially came out and said, look, this is a product that's going to be, it's going to be enterprise, not realizing the thirst, the demand that individuals have for all these products. Including the Anthropic product that I keep hyping because younger people have discovered that.
Yeah, why do you keep hyping Anthropic?
Well, because younger people...
It's just another generative AI chatbot, right?
A lot of people feel that we're playing with Facebook and they're playing with Instagram.
Okay.
Facebook being for fuddy-duddies and
Instagram. I get it.
Just because you got a great haircut doesn't make you younger.
No, there's no getting younger, sadly.
Oh, you're doing that Father No One Beats Father Time rap? It's like you're tired of that rap.
You are?
Yeah.
Really?
Father Tam, I'm going. It's going to be a thriller Manila between me and Father Time. I'm telling you.
Speaking of thrillers in Manilas, how
down
about
Father
Netflix? Mike Tyson and Jake Paul live, AT&T Stadium, July 21st. Yes,
really?
Confirmed.
Really?
Yes.
Mike Tyson is my age.
Ooh. Well, isn't your age about to change?
He's got a much. Much better right
more
or left.
Punch?
Yeah.
More of a punch?
Yeah. He could even just look at you.
You once gave me an Hawaiian punch.
I did.
Global sports event as the evolution of their model continues.
Not for Disney. For Netflix. You're 2 years older than... You're close age to Mike Tyson?
Wait, I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about it.
Down goes Faber.
Yeah, believe me. It's making me sweat just thinking about it. I'm going to have to step off and take off
my
jacket.
Maybe we ought to go back to the things that are happening in the market. Like
can we
Kroger.
Do that?
Kroger
do
with
that?
An excellent quarter. Maybe they don't need to do that deal. Maybe the FTC is like, hey, you know what? Everyone did well. See you later. Look at that stock. It's NVIDIA-like.
That is quite a move there.
Isn't it?
You've made the point many times that you think in some way the case against the deal is misdirected in the sense of while Albertsons and Kroger do amount to a decent share, they don't come close to Walmart's share of supermarket, and the competitor, certainly Kroger would say, is not Albertsons, which they want to acquire, but is Walmart and Costco.
Look, Costco reports tonight. The two biggest grocers, Costco and Walmart, run rings around everybody. I would tell you that Kroger needs that heft. And for the overlap, they've already got a very, very good plan, which is a store that you have never been to and never will be, which is Piggly Wiggly. And I think that it makes sense. But the FTC, I mean, Carl, like I said, this is when the agencies really dig in. It's election year. They don't know if they're still going to be around.
Well, there is news of
they're swinging for the fences.
Nearly 50 Democratic senators and representatives sending a letter urging the FTC to look into oil and gas mergers. We've been talking about the likelihood of scrutiny on that front.
Do you think that David will be subpoenaed?
Interesting.
Thank you for bringing that up. I look forward to that.
Well, since you know more than everybody.
I remember that morning I walked out and some guy was, it was years ago. I was like getting in my car or something and he like put it on the windshield. He's like, this is for you, David Faber. Here you go. I'm like, thanks. What? Oh, it's a subpoena.
He gave you a subpoena?
Yeah. We got rid of it. It was for nothing. It was some weird class action
David, you've
suit.
Been served.
I mean, you've been, how many times have you been served?
Don't even call. I got served one night at Friday at 10 o'clock. I said, are you kidding me?
I know.
That person didn't fare as well as they thought they would in that. Tussle.
All right. I want to actually talk oil and gas, not regulation, but joint operating agreements, because we did get news yesterday and then a follow through today on this important deal that we're watching in oil and gas, namely Chevron's deal to acquire Hess. It's 1.05 shares of Chevron. Remember, an all stock deal. By the way, Hess's stock hasn't done much. If the deal were to break, it's not clear that it would create a lot of downside for Hess. That said, it's still an enormous deal and an important one, and there is a significant feud going on between the two companies at the top of that chart there, namely Exxon and Chevron, over what is really in this joint operating agreement in terms of what the rights of first refusal are on Guyana, of which Exxon owns most, but less than 50%. The giant Chinese company, Sinuk, and then you have Hess in there in the middle. It's like 25, 45, 35. I think I got my numbers right, roughly, let's call it, or 30. Hess today responding to the fact that they're going to arbitration. We said that this was a possibility last week when we covered the story. It is now happening. It could be 4 or 5, as much as 6 months before we get a ruling here from an arbitrator. For its part, Hess says, we believe the right of first refusal doesn't apply. We remain fully committed to the transaction and obviously disagree with the interpretation of the agreement. Remember, there's something to be said for it being a reverse triangular merger, which means Hess doesn't actually ever go away as a corporate entity, in which case then you could argue there's no real change in control. But the problem, in part, that the market has here with trying to understand the risk of the deal is we're not going to see the language. Language is not being released.
Great.
Come on, both sides agree and release the language so we Great. Can make our own decision. Because when you talk to Darren Woods or you talk to Exxon, you get the following, and this was one of their senior VPs at a conference yesterday. He said, the JOA contract in this case was developed based on the model JOA. We understand the detailed language. We wrote it. We understand the intent of this language of the whole contract because we wrote it. I think most observers in this industry would understand our reputation for rigor, attention to detail, and contract language, and they are extremely confident that their preemption rights exist, and they would intend to preserve them. Now, if in fact they win an arbitration, Jim, Chevron goes away. So Exxon never gets a chance to use those preemption rights.
Right.
Chevron has made it clear, if we lose, and the language is seen in favor of Exxon, that they do have the right to actually buy what Hess already owns of Guyana or make a bid on it, we're gone.
Oh, but David.
It's not as though once they close the Pioneer deal at Exxon, they're going to just buy Hess. But again, the senior VP yesterday says, listen, I don't know if that transaction is going to proceed or not. That's in their hands. But if that transaction does not proceed, there is potential value down the road for ExxonMobil. That option value is really, really important. So, meaning, hey, if we have an opportunity to put this deal to bed, we have option opportunity to buy Hess in the future.
Okay, so let's put this in the context of people at home, even big corporate M&A people. David, is there some sort of weird bad blood here between Hess and Exxon?
You know,
this is highly unusual behavior, almost not cricket, I would say.
It is. Going in, there was not an expectation. They operate together in certain other areas.
Right.
But clearly, this is unexpected, I think, on the part of Chevron that Exxon would be doing this. Exxon, for its part, says, hey, we have these preemption rights in our opinion and would be derelict in our duty to our shareholders if we didn't actually try to assert them.
Well,
so,
I am astonished
right.
at this.
It's unexpected and quite, I don't want to call it, let's just say it's unexpected, well, and it's an unexpected level of hostility.
It is interesting. This is an industry that I think a lot of people, Carl, who don't pay that close attention to business, feel that it's just a slap happy oligopoly. They all get in a room and they figure out what they want to do. They'll probably be attacked for the State of the Union. When was the last time they haven't been attacked? A couple of days. But there's no love lost. I mean, I can't believe this. Actually, like Mike Worth, he comes in peace.
Darren Woods.
Yeah.
You know, he's an engineer, man. He's just like, listen, this is what we think we got, and we're going to assert our rights. Now, again, we haven't seen the language that is at issue here, which would help us or certainly help experts understand who really has the better case. Maybe both sides will agree to make it public if they believe that. But otherwise, we're going to sort of be in the dark a bit in terms of trying to ascertain really what that language says.
In the meantime, Diamondback buys this Endeavor, and
yeah.
Diamondback stock just goes up, up, up. And I just think that this is one where you're not in the Permian, baby.
Really quick, Jim, we got four names in specialty retail up 5 to 8%. Yeah. Burl, BJ, Big, and AEO.
Yeah, okay, so AEO did this incredibly interesting reorganization, and it's about time. I'm glad to see they did what they do. Yeah, Big, a lot of people felt with Big was on its last legs. A&F came right back. And Burlington is the fair-haired. I mean, right now people feel Burlington is, it's among Ross, Burlington, and TJX in terms of closeout. I think that people should recognize Burlington. It's really interesting because Burlington is the equivalent of the Dollar Tree, Dollar General, the group. When you go to Burlington, it's pipe rack, it's long lines, it's not necessarily, it's a place that you feel like you're getting a bargain. If you had to read through this, you would say that the consumer is downbeat because that's where you shop, and the consumer's downbeat.
Right. All those names doing well price-wise, the exception would be VSCO today.
Yeah, just a major miss. And bad cadence. I mean, one of the things that people have to recognize, same thing with Foot Locker yesterday. Foot Locker was up big because Mary Dillon said, look, we had a good Thanksgiving. And after that, it just went all downhill. Victoria's Secret had a couple of weeks that were just, I don't know what happened. I guess people just didn't go. I defer to my colleague. David, what did happen to Victoria's Secret?
Oh, well, Jim, I can't discuss it.
No?
No. All I know is I always go back to Sycamore and that deal they had. Wow. Would have been the greatest deal, and they called it off, and then the thing soared. Remember?
But they also did some things that didn't really work out. Sycamore
at Victoria's Secret.
Yeah. But I just think that this is the mall is a dicey place because Ralph Lauren had unbelievable numbers, and then you go next door, and there'll be a company that just didn't attract anybody. Foot Locker, the Champs was bad. I have the smallest position I have in that. My trust is that because I believe in Mary Dillon so much. About after what you did with Ulta, but so far, not so good.
Apple down, Tesla eking out a small gain so far.
Really?
Yeah.
Apple down. Yeah,
another 0.25%.
So much for Camelot, huh? The lowest passing this moon ago in here. It's not a lot of snow in Camelot.
Camelot. Yeah. I actually saw it when it came back.
Learn
you
didn't.
I saw the original.
Really?
Oh, of course. Look, I saw Jerry Orbach in Promises. So
very
just don't
nice.
Even,
before he was a Disney king. Rest in peace, Jerry.
Best.
As we go to break, watch Bonds today. Of course, Powell, day two in front of the Senate today. We'll get Mester at 11:30. Claims were in line. Later this afternoon, consumer credit, Fed balance sheet. 410 is up a little bit from the 406 we had earlier this morning. Be right back.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
We want to wish a happy birthday to one of the most beloved people on Wall Street and a very familiar face to CNBC viewers. That's Art Cashin. Art, we're keeping an eye on your health. Looking forward to the resumption of your morning notes. No doubt, Jim, he would have a lot to say about the action we've seen in markets the last few weeks.
There are a few people that you have to read every morning and know you are scared to miss because the history here is kept by one person, not me.
Seen his way through all kinds of aeons and epochs.
I remember speaking to him during the crisis of 2001. There was really, he was the clearest head there was.
And in 87 and in 08.
Yes. Oh, the panic of 08?
I mean, Art, people always listen to Art. When it comes to the market, a singular voice.
Got the right, we don't have enough people who have perspective to know that every day is not a perilous day.
Meantime, Dow up 190, holding around 5140. We'll take a short break. Be back in a moment. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
Yeah, okay, so look, one of the things that is really intriguing to me is the housing, both remodel and renovation, as well as new. And Sherwin-Williams, Evidence Lab, UBS, goes to hold a buy, and it's at 52-week high, and that's very important because the actual home business is not doing well, but the new home business, Lennar's been doing very well, Toll, and then the renovation. Look at that. Paint sold very well at Home Depot. I do have AZEK, which is decking, and Fortune Brands, which is some very sophisticated. I don't want to call it plumbing anymore. It's much different than that. But my surprise guess is one of the turnarounds, great turnarounds, maybe even as good as Abercrombie. I have Gap tonight.
Ooh.
Yeah, I have Gap. And I just think the Gap is incredibly exciting. That last quarter was just magnificent. If they can turn that juggernaut around, this guy is just dynamite. And he's just dynamite. I mean, I can't wait to speak to him.
Well, they got David's attention at Banana, so that says something.
David, yeah. That's the one.
I bought a couple
I know
of
you
things,
told me you thought you were going to a Latin American country cooperative. It's actually a division. But the thing is that he's turning Old Navy around. Can you imagine? And Gap has a very fresh look. Have you been to Gap lately? It's crisp, David. Is that the word I would use? It's crisp.
Okay. I have not been to a Gap lately. They're hard to find.
They have the
Remember when they were on every block?
Wider pants is a big thing.
Wider,
Levi's
yes.
is doing very
People
well.
Are going wide again.
Do not rule out Gap going to, yes, I may take it to a high of 30. And that's a creme de la Kramer. That's my new name for that.
I look forward to that, Jim.
Like evidence lab, creme de la Kramer.
Mad Money tonight, 6 p.m. Apologies to the booth, because you did see Chairman Brown getting the session underway. We're going to take you to Senate Banking and day two of Powell on the Hill after a break. You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.